A little bit. Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, I think it's been refreshing. I mean, he says it all the time, and it wasn't just this year. Even when he first got here, just, you know, let your personality show. I think you've seen that all year. You know, guys, whether it be the celebrations or just the demeanor about which we go and play, guys have been able to kind of, you know, be themselves in a way that doesn't step outside of the team either. And I think it's a nice balance that we have where we feel like we can cut it loose, be ourselves, you know, but also kind of be a team.
How do they get away with their pick plays so often? What do they do that's effective? And how do you stop them?
Well, not every pick play is illegal. Some, you know, if you're up on the line of scrimmage, you're an aggressive defense who likes to press all, you know, all your corners or DBs, then they can contact you within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage. The rest of it is body position. You know, they're not just going to run up to you and hit you. They'll just kind of put people in your way as a defender, make you weave in and out, and somebody gets open. So you got to recognize the formations and put yourselves in positions not to get big.
So how have you made it all work this week?
What do you mean?
Everything you have going on.
I mean, you know, one one play at a time, just like football you're taking in life. You know, spent 2 nights at the hospital. But my family's home now, so, you know, it's been a good week for me. Hopefully it ends well too.
You've spent the season multitasking. Is that coming
in? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been pretty much on par for the rest of the year, but, obviously it's an exciting time for not only me, but my family. But we got a lot of work to do obviously this week. So, now that everybody's home, my focus is on the game.
You've also taken on
a little more vocal than the leaders. A little more vocal, is that fair to say? Especially after games. How did that happen? Doug would talk to you. Not sure. I mean, last year I think we'd call on different guys. This year I think the first week he called on me, and the next week called on me, and then after a while it's like, we're very superstitious football players. So when you're winning, you don't change anything, and I end up just kind of being that guy. But obviously, it's a role that, you know, I embrace.
Yeah, now you look tired seeing him after the Wentz injury. That clip has circulated. What were you trying to get across to your teammates in that moment when you kind of addressed them right away about what needed to happen?
Well, you know, it was, first off, you know, that was the night we won the East, and it was a huge milestone for us, and knowing that the media was getting ready to come in right after that, and everything that they would want to talk about is, you know, how do you move forward? What's going on with your guys' dreams? Is it over? And those seeds of doubt and words of doubt were getting ready to come. And so what I wanted to make sure was that that there was a message of confidence and you know, perspective before they had to actually address the media, to let everybody know that, yes, let's get this out the way. Obviously, we all hurt for Carson. This is a huge blow to the team, but in no way does it change our goals. No way does it change our demeanor about which we go do our work. You know, nothing's changed, and that was kind of the message.
It seems that the organization has taken on the "we all we got, we all we need" as their slogan now. Mm-hmm. Why was that important for you to say to the team from the beginning?
The last couple years, I feel like we've said "we all we got." We've said that over and over. And then this year, as we just kind of got closer to the season, we added the "we all we need," just because we, from the beginning, we didn't feel like anybody gave us a chance. We felt like we were underdogs. Nobody, you know, everybody was. The questions were, is this a rebuilding year or a building year? Is, you know, what's Carson going to be? What's the defense going to be? And so we always focused on the guys we had in the huddle. And I think, obviously, that mentality is coming in handy with it's been handy for us all year, losing the amount of guys that we've lost and facing a lot of the adversity we've had, to have that mentality that we are sufficient, that the guys we have in this room can get it done no matter what's in front of us. It's kind of been, you know, the storyline of this team, and that's obviously, I think everybody's kind of embraced that mentality.
When you speak to the team after games, where does it come from? Do you spend time
deliberately picking your words, or does it kind of come naturally?
I literally, we come in, Doug talks to the team a little bit, and then I talk. So most of it is just kind of off of my heart, and I kind of try to analyze the situation, where we are as a team, do a little bit of reflection, but make sure that it's not just an emotional response, to keep everybody in perspective, just because, you know, it's easy to get too high or too low after a win or loss. It's easy to start to listen to all of the things that people are getting ready to say. And a lot of time I'm prepping and talking to myself, to be most honest, is knowing that the media is coming in right after that, and you're going to get all these kind of questions, whether somebody wants you to talk really, really highly about yourself, or they want you to talk badly about your teammate, or they want to, you know, ask you about, you know, doubting yourself or being super confident. You know, all of those things, you've kind of got to temper. So most times when I address the team, I'm really talking to myself.
Did you have misdirection to get runs outside?
You said what?
Did they use a lot of misdirection?
The Falcons?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, the Vikings, to get one of the runs outside to get space out there?
Not any more than anybody else we faced.
How pivotal was that moment, do you think, that first when Carson first went out and you guys came back to it? I think they drove down the field and scored, and then you guys ended up winning. Those first moments for this team to kind of realize, hey, you know, the season's going on, and how important was that, just that moment of knowing it wasn't over and getting through that initial shock?
Yeah, I mean, getting that win out in L.A., I mean, that was huge for us. One, it was for the division, and secondly, it was a moment in which we could have easily folded, you know, and easily just kind of, defensively, we weren't having a good day up until that point. Offensively, we could have tanked it, but, you know, we just pressed on. We did whatever we had to do to adjust in the game, in the moment, to get a win, no matter what it looked like. Guys made the plays. Nick converted a great third down to Nelson to kind of seal that. So I think it was huge. It proved, you know, to the guys who maybe not necessarily didn't believe, but who might have been on the fence, that, look, we can win games, you know, with the guys that we have in this room. It's just going to take a collective effort, but it's taken a collective effort all year.
I'm surprised that he's had the number one defense, all-pro safety. Obviously, you guys don't play against them, but is there any added incentive for the group and you specifically that want to outplay those guys?
I mean, we got a lot of respect for their defense and the players on their team. But, you know, we got a lot of confidence in our defense as well and the guys that we have. So, we're not focused on them. You know, we want to have a big performance in our for ourselves. It's our home. It's our crowd. The crowd is gets up for the defense. And so in order to make it a home field advantage, we've got to play well. And that's what we fully anticipate doing. I mean, our whole front, you know, they make our defense go. Whether it be, you know, we're number one in rushing for a reason, and they have a huge piece of that. And then when we do stop teams from running the ball and they want to get, you know, into a pass game, I don't know anybody out there that can block Fletcher Cox. Tim Jernigan does a great job. You know, when Fletcher gets all the attention, all of a sudden he's getting going. BG on the outside has been disruptive all year. Chris Long, Vinny Curry, Barnett, when you put them in. So we've got guys that we're rotating. They're fresh, and everybody's productive. It makes it a lot easier on the back end. We're not covering forever. We don't have to blitz to get pressure. So we got other guys in coverage. It's really been a strong point of the defense.
Any league-wide question here. You talk all the time about the value of quarterbacks. What do you make of the fact that three of the four teams left don't have those prototypical franchise quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, the cliche that defense wins championships is alive and well. And the biggest thing at the quarterback position, if you have a strong defense, is to take care of the football. And all of those quarterbacks do that. They take care of the football. They don't make, you know, a ton of mistakes. And so they allow their team to play patient games, to run the ball, play defense, and then strike when you have the opportunity. And in that way, I think we're very similar to the Vikings in that regard.
Malcolm, when we asked Doug reasons why you've been successful as a team, one of the reasons he'll give, it doesn't talk about a lot of stuff that happens with guys off the field in the way they conduct themselves. Can you talk a little bit about the character of the roster and what kind of role that's played in where you are now?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look in every NFL locker room, there's guys that get out in the community pretty often, especially on their days off. But this is probably the most proactive locker room I've been in, where guys are not only, you know, doing just some of the team activities that are out there, but they have their own foundations, their own initiatives, that they're going out and engaging the community and sacrificing, you know, time. It's not just a bye week or whenever. It's even in the thick of it, you know, on, you're in the playoffs when you could easily have an excuse not to do anything. Guys are still investing into their community. We feel a special connection to the city. And that's not just your star players. That's all the way down to practice squad. And it's been fun. So I think when you have a group of guys that care about the community, the city, care about each other, it just makes for a unique locker room. And we've said all year it's been a special year, and that's definitely a part of it.
Doug has talked often about ownership as kind of one of his principal themes this year. How has he explained that to you guys, and how has that resonated with the players?
Well, I mean, it's every aspect of what we do in this building. You know, he wants us to have ownership in it. And so whether it's, you know, the way that we prepare, our practices, our lifts, what you do at home as an individual, how you take care of your body, our success and where this team goes is completely predicated by what we do as individuals. And so everybody owns their role on the team and feels like their role can be the difference, whether you're a practice squad guy given the reps, you know, for the scout team, whether you're the starter and you're or the leader on the team, you're making sure you're holding guys accountable, whether you're the coach, making sure you're prepared, you have the players in the right position. Everybody has a role, and we've all got to feel like our role is important, have to take ownership in that. And I think guys have embraced it. It's been great to have open dialogue with the coaches, whether it be through scheme or just whatever's going on with the team. So everybody feels like they have a voice. Everybody feels like they own a piece of what we've done this year.
All right. Thanks, guys. Locker room's open.